Hello, lads and lasses. Hopefully this time you can hear me and see me. Last night, if you were tuning into the Cow Weekly show with Alice, the internet wasn't the greatest. So in the words of Cypress Hill, we ain't going out like that. So obviously this is supposed to be switch off Wednesday. Normally, well, we're about to start putting out pre-record podcasts. There's still a podcast that you'll get. However, I really need to get, obviously, the integrity of the internet solid. So I'm hoping that this is going to work. So today, we're doing this bonus episode, which is about climate, what's going on with Biden, America, also the Tories, of course. But before we do that, and I listen to the bloody bread man drive up the road like he does every day, going beep, 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 like a dafty. He's gone, I think, now. But, you know, mate, how are you? Sort it out. Get like a Gazillies ice cream chime, something like that. Shouts to everybody from Gateshead who knows who Gazilli is. Also, if you're about, as I see, some of you are starting to join the stream now. If you could let me know in the comments, that would be absolutely top. Also, what you think about the material in this. So far, so good as well. Obviously, we're still here, so that's great. Honestly, last night trying to do that show, thinking it was going to go off at any time, was a mare. Also, get well soon, Alice, who had to get off just before the end and spew up, which was a bad one. But we've been in touch this morning and she's resting, so it's good news. Bloody sick note, eh? So let's crack on. What do we have? Let us see if StreamYard will play the game. It will. So what's been happening in regards the climate change, that kind of thing in the last this week, really? Well, what I'll do is I'll play this video first. I'd be interested in your reaction to it when we come back. And we'll see where we go. But just a quick mention, big up to Samuel, who signed up today as a patron. Really appreciated, man, and thank you very much for doing that. Also, if you want to become a patron, please go to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. You can make a regular monthly contribution to our work. There's a podcast on there that's not released generally featuring Laura Pidcock. So you can go and watch that there. Obviously, as I said, there's a slight delay because internet problems and that going out today. It'll go out the next few days. But that's the crack every week. One over the weekend or on a Monday for patrons, and then out the general release on the Wednesday. Just also as well, you can get on the Discord forum, which we're going to start cracking on with now. Also, if you want to leave a one-off donation to our work, PayPal link in description. Cheers, huns. Also, if you could watch this on YouTube, that's youtube.com/cowdaily. Trying to get the channel monetized, and it's a massive help if you just watch everything there when it's out on YouTube. Cheers, my friends. Right, cracking on. Biden. Let's see what Biden's been saying about it's intersects with cost of living, climate change, and in some respects, immigration, as we'll show later. Check this out.
Now, the second quarter, the profits were really high, but the third quarter, last week, Shell announced that it made $9.5 billion in profits for the third quarter. $9.5 billion. That's almost twice as much as it made in the third quarter of last year. And I think that's something. You think that's incredible? I thought, my, that's as good as high as it's going to get. Then along came Exxon. Exxon's profits for the third quarter were $18.7 billion. One quarter, $18.7 billion. Nearly triple what Exxon made last year. And the most in its 152-year history. It's never made that much profit. In the last 6 months, six of the largest oil companies have made more than $100 billion. And we had a little discussion about this, the three of us and others. $100 billion in profits in less than 200 days. That's not bad. And here's why this matters. I think it's outrageous what the size of the profit. Here's why it matters. These companies were making average profits they've been making by refining oil over the last 20 years. instead of the outrageous profits they're making today. And if they passed the rest on to the consumers, the price of gas would come down around an additional 50 cents. If they're investing their profits in historic rates in their U.S. operations, then America would be producing more oil today. Prices would be down even further. But rather than increasing their investments in America or giving American consumers a break, their excess profits are going back to their shareholders and they're buying back their stock, so the executive pays are going to skyrocket. Give me a break. Enough is enough. Look, I'm a capitalist. You've heard me say this before. I have no problem with corporations turning a fair profit or getting a return on their investment in innovation. But this is remotely what's happening. Oil companies, record profits today, are not because they're doing something new or innovative. Their profits are a windfall of war, the windfall from the brutal conflict that's ravaging Ukraine and hurting tens of millions of people around the globe. You know, at a time of war, any company receiving historic windfall profits like this has a responsibility to act beyond their narrow self-interest of its executives and shareholders. I think they have a responsibility to act in the interest of their consumers, their community, and their country. To invest in America by increasing production and refining capacity, because they don't want to do that. They have the opportunity to do that. Lowering prices for consumers at the pump. You know, if they don't, they're going to pay a higher tax on their excess profits and face other restrictions. My team will work with Congress to look at these options that are available to us and others. It's time for these companies to stop war profiteering, meet their responsibilities to this country, and give the American people a break and still do very well.
I mean, first glance, you would think tough talk from Biden, like, oh man, like American president's talking about taxing the oil and gas industry. Sounds great, but let's interrogate this shit further. Let's see what is going on. Where were we? Right, I took this from, I think it's Politico. Yes, it is indeed. So what it says here is, Democrats passed a huge climate bill. Now they're talking oil. The tack is a contrast from 2020 when Democrats, including Biden, jockeyed with each other to propose sweeping plans for curtailing the long-term threat of global warming. This is by Josh Siegel. It's from the 19th of October this year. Democrats' messaging war over high gasoline prices is overshadowing one of their hardest-fought legislative achievements, the climate bill that President Joe Biden signed just 2 months ago. So obviously this year. The pivot is especially glaring in the swing states of Pennsylvania, Nevada, and New Hampshire, where Democratic Senate candidates face an electorate of disgruntled motorists are trying to shift voters' ire to the oil industry. Some are also attacking their Republican opponents for alleged coziness with fossil fuel companies, or they're expressing newfound enthusiasm for domestic oil and gas production. It continues. The tack is a contrast from 2020 when Democrats, including Biden, jockeyed with each other to propose sweeping plans for curtailing the long-term threat of global warming. It also reflects Democratic nervousness that Republicans may succeed in getting voters to blame Biden's climate policies for the short-term plague of inflated fuel prices. No matter that, the U.S. remains the world's largest oil and gas producer. REIT. I mean, it all sounds great, right? Sounds a beautiful thing, doesn't it? Like, Biden's basically going to sort it all out and there'll be a tax. I mean, there's a tweet here just to kind of like crystallize what these people are saying. The oil industry has a choice. Either invest in America by lowering prices for consumers at the pump and increasing production and refining capacity, or pay a higher tax on your excessive profits and face other restrictions. Proper tough talk, mate. Aye, nice one. Sound. The problem is that when was it? It was just a couple of weeks ago. This happened. The United Nations, climate change, the greatest threat the world has ever faced, UN expert warns. Problem we've got here is we've got these sort of center people or whatever you want to fucking call them. Labour 2 in the United States. I just see the Democrats as just a fucking and Labour as a way of like siphoning progressive people off and away from things that actually matter and bogging them down in a load of shit. So climate change, got less than a couple of years to sort out 1.5C, and these idiots are talking about further production. Are you out of your fucking minds? This is the problem that we've got. None of this stuff has been reported in the way that it should be reported. They're cycling between different crises. Every week, it seems. This week in the UK, it's refugees, the refugee crisis. I'm just not having this migrant talk. Just fuck off. Semantics doesn't take away from the fact that it's same or similar people. One of the reasons being climate and climate change. So there's something that I've mentioned before, and it's governments taking a walls approach to climate change and everything that they're doing with it. And they're using these things to obfuscate other crises, and they're not obviously addressing the number one issue that we have, which is climate change. Nothing else really underneath that matters, which is crazy and indicative of the world that we are living in, which is a one that seems to be fueled by utter shit. The shit that people talk in positions of power who could be doing something about this. I think it just demonstrates the type of people who generally stand for election. It's quite often very much about them and their own self-interest. Now, I can't see how a case can be made for more oil and gas production that isn't anything other than obviously reducing prices at the pump, which would be brilliant, but can we do both? Why are they giving this as a binary choice? Anyway, what we have here from Open Democracy, decent outlet, you should check them out. Their analysis, border walls hurt the weakest and least to blame in the climate crisis. Fortified borders don't stop migration. They just make inequality worse, just like climate change. Some key points here. Climate change is driving many people to move from their homes. For the likely outcome, we need only look at the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has resulted in massive border closures and controls. As a result, the numbers of international migrants has increased less during the pandemic than in previous years. At the same time, the number of internal migrants in countries such as Bangladesh or Fiji, for example, hard hit by the climate crisis, has increased dramatically. Out of the four border fences the person studied, three are situated in regions that are particularly threatened by climate change. The exception is the one between Hungary and Serbia. This means that the infrastructure for border closure is already in place in many regions where climate migration takes place. Interesting. How could this already be in place? So my point is here, I get a strong sense, right, that what's happening here is a lot of this rhetoric that's been going on, especially during the whole Trump build a wall scenario, there's clearly, in my opinion, been chats behind the scenes about the reality of climate change. And I think a lot of these people in positions of power are just like potentially sociopaths. It would seem so, because if you can't like do something about something that's going to affect you, your own family, and it's clearly the case, and you're talking about reducing prices at the pump. And a lot of what that's about is it's about like the Democrats and swing states. So what that tends to mean is you're getting people once again doing things for either their voter base, which they have whipped up to see climate change as like as a questionable thing in the terms of the science and other ways. Because guess what? Here's from the UK. This is from The Guardian. Tories received 1.3 million from fossil fuel interests and climate skeptics since 2019. Gifts and donations from oil companies, airports, petrol states, and climate skeptic think tanks. Here's another from The Guardian. Oil and gas donors gave over 400k to Tories before North Sea decision. That's on Campbell. Exclusive payments in the past year came as governments decided on licenses for new fossil fuel sites. Wow. Another revealed, this is from 3 months ago, oil sector staggering $3 billion a day profits for the last 50 years. Vast sums provide power to buy every politician and delay action on climate crisis, says experts. So it goes on. The oil and gas industry has delivered $2.8 billion, that's £2.3 billion a day, that's a fucking day, in pure profit for the last 50 years, a new analysis has revealed. The vast total captured by petrol states and fossil fuel companies since 1970 is $52 trillion. I can't even conceive of what that is. So anyway, it goes on, providing the power to buy every politician and every system and delay action on the climate crisis, says Professor Aviel Verbruggen, the author of the analysis. The huge profits were inflated by cartels of countries artificially restricting supply. I mean, just recently, before this latest Biden proclamation, he went to Saudi Arabia and all those meetings with the Saudis. And the whole crack was put oil and gas production up. These people are insane, man. They're insane. They're doing the complete opposite of what needs to happen. But again, the whole thing, it seems to be based on who can pay off who. The whole lobby system in America and the UK and everywhere, really. The oil and gas industry have got politicians in their pockets. And you've seen I just can't even get my head around what $52 trillion is. I think I might, after this, go and break that down versus countries' GDPs over the last 50 years. It's mad. These are unaccountable gangsters who appear to be fully in delusion themselves at what is actually happening to this planet. It's utterly disgraceful and disgusting. Let's see what, as I say in the comments, good people. Bob Grady in the house. Hello, Bob. Thanks for watching on YouTube, mate. Appreciated. The fact that we're in November and it's still warm, but when it rains, it's like a monsoon. Drains literally can't cope, and this is just the start. Tell us about it, mate. I'm really, really concerned about flooding this, because there's no flood defences, man. You remember, like, Todd Morden and places like that? It's just going to get worse. Horrendous. And, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff as well, like grouse moors and other things as well. But we'll not get into that today. Ross Black in the house. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. It's one of my pals, Gateshead supporter, up the Heed. Shit result last night, but the North shall rise again. It's legalised blackmail by the oil sector. In any other way of life, this is applied, it would be illegal. Absolutely spot on, mate. Definitely. Ms. Hemmings, how can we get round to making sure that all housing is converted to green renewable energy when most housing is private within the necessary time frame? Well, what we can do, I think, is put a huge tax on every fucker. Every fucker. Like, all of these oil and gas people. Tax the bloody rich too. Look at what they're doing with the private jets. Like, it's crazy. Look at how that breaks down in terms of the top 1% versus the bottom 10% in UK society and their carbon footprint. That needs utterly sorting, man. Completely sorting. But, I mean, what do you say? Monsieur Grady says, NIMBYs are in full effect as well. They want green industry, but not in their area. It's true. These things are going to have to get sorted. But, like, you've got Rishi Sunak, like, going left and right. Is he going to COP27? He's not going to COP27. And then going on about, oh, we don't want to spend $2,000 a night on a hotel room. Oh, just fuck off, man. That's just obviously not the reason at all. I mean, just look into his bloody record. What I'd like to do is, though, give the only sane people in the room, it seems, the last word. Because I just don't understand who else is saying the things that matter. This is Just Stop Oil. Thanks for tuning in. Buzzing that this is still working. I think I fixed the internet problem, which is an absolute belter. So up the north, up the cow, up everybody who's tuned in. This is Just Stop Oil. Big up all the patrons and thanks for signing up. It's given a massive lift. Cheers, dudes. Later. Oh my God. Right. Let's cue it now. Bye.
This week's UN report states that staying under 1.5 degrees of warming is no longer credible. Going over 1.5 degrees of warming locks in the loss of the coral reefs,
the loss of 25% of the world's fish, the destruction of hundreds of millions of livelihoods and millions of innocent lives.
Going over 1.5 degrees of warming means island nations going underwater. This constitutes an act of illegal war.
This is just the beginning. From today, Just Stop Oil will pause its campaign of civil resistance.
We're giving time to those in government who are in touch with reality
to consider their responsibilities to this country at this time.
If we receive no response from ministers by the end of Friday the 4th,
we will escalate our legal disruption against this government.
Our actions will be proportionate to the scale of this crisis.
New oil and gas is a crime against humanity. The facts are crystal clear. Drilling for more oil and gas is taking us way beyond 1.5 degrees. There is no greater crime.
You do not get to murder people just because you can.
For 32 days, we've been peacefully blocking roads, demanding that our government take action in protecting the lives of millions. Do they really want us to continue in civil resistance? Or will they come and talk to us and promise a livable future for all without oil?